Thanks very much, Roger. It is great to be back in Indianapolis and to stand before my fellow members of the Philadelphia Society and all the guests who were here at one of the largest regional meetings in the whole history of the Philadelphia Society. I got started with this organization back at the very beginning, and Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and San Francisco were the first three meetings back in 1965. But it's especially an honor for me in Illini to pay tribute to two great Hoosiers tonight. Actually, it's not two Hoosiers. It's a group. It's, dare I say it, it's a gaggle of Hoosiers because there are so many. And the history, not just of the Philadelphia Society, but the history of liberty, really, is so central to this city. I'm sure when we depart on Sunday, we'll do so with high spirits and a renewed dedication to the blessings of liberty. And when I say the blessings of liberty, gosh, I had a great experience this morning. I was out at the Liberty Fund, and look at this catalog. This catalog, the catalog of what they've got in print right now of our books, our ideas, is larger than Sam Tannenhaus's whole damn book denouncing us for not having any ideas. Just the catalog is bigger. Tonight, we launch a serious discussion on the future of the American Academy. We do so tonight, and I have this honor of talking about two specific Hoosiers. The first one, a charter member of the Philadelphia Society, Dr. Ben Rogge, distinguished professor of political economics and dean of Wabash College from the late 40s to his premature passing in 1980, written about by Tom Sowell as one of the nation's premier educators in terms of what principles of economics are all about. Ben recognized across America to this day for his wisdom and his unique ability to convey economics and political philosophy in the classroom, in publications, and on a film. If you can find it, get a copy of The Incredible Bread Machine, which Ben was the inspiration for. Take a look at it today. It's as relevant today as it was when John Bodden and I first saw it when we were both a lot younger. Second person, of course, Pierre Goodrich, the founder of the Liberty Fund, great industrialist, Hoosier barrister, Harvard Law degree, first citizen of Indianapolis, Sagamore of the Wabash, Wabash College, class of 1916. Big things come in small packages. Ben Rogge, Hastings, Nebraska, population 5,000, hometown. Pierre Goodrich, Winchester, Indiana, 24,000. Both of them, Wabash College in common, 900 students. 850, sorry, thank you. Ben and Pierre, with the ideas they put forth, not only left their mark on Wabash, but on the entire stratosphere of higher education and so many of Wabash's students for generations and so many today through the incredible work of the Liberty Fund and what they have continued to do. Together, this team, Rogge Goodrich, became teacher and advisor to thousands of students and scholars at most of our great colleges and universities. Read Ben Rogge's accounts in National Review of early Philadelphia Society meetings, where he talks about the marvelous disorganization of Don Lipsett, about how great it was that the Philadelphia Society's main distinction was that it very seldom met in Philadelphia. It usually met in Chicago. Things like that. But Ben and Pierre Goodrich, mentors to hundreds of influential conservative Americans over the past 70 years, really. They never hesitated to present provocative solutions to public problems. One of those was the continuing decline of higher education in America. They talked about this in a co-authored book entitled Education in a Free Society. They believed the heavy subsidization in achieving equality through mass education eventually led to a certain dumbing down. Sounds pretty acceptable today, but when they wrote it 40 years ago, it was pretty much outside the box. Quote, a collection of non-students under the tutelage of non-teachers and the administration by the incompetent, from their book. They talk about how much better it would be if the market had the chance to provide different alternative forms of education. Whether it would, some schools would have a variegated student body, some a homogeneous student body, some would offer liberal arts, others would be more along the mechanical arts. Still others would have a mixture. The cost of education would be borne by the student so that you don't have the lower middle class subsidizing the upper middle class to go to the Ivy League schools and come out and make still more money. Ben and Peer argued that it would be better to have all schools operated for profit because it would ensure that they operated more efficiently, would relieve that burden from the taxpayer. Their philosophy, the only equality that is consistent with freedom is equality before the law. All other forms and types of equalities can be brought into being, if at all, only through the use of force. Something for all of us, traditional conservatives, libertarians, and all the others that make up the wonderful varieties of the conservative movement to bear in mind. Many in this room, among our membership since the beginning, have lived their lives devoted to the notion that the free market is a guarantor of all other freedoms, something that was absolutely central to Goodrich and Rogge. They were closely affiliated with one of the founding members of the Mont Pelerin Society, Leonard Reed, who founded the Foundation for Economic Education in Irvington-on-Hudson, New York. All three of them were longtime members of the Mont Pelerin Society. Sidebar, 1964, with Lipset, founding meeting to organize the Philadelphia Society. I had written to Leonard Reed, who had invited me to a seminar for graduate students. I was at Wharton at the time in Philadelphia. And I said, you know, hey, I'm trying to fund my own way through graduate school. How about a scholarship or something? He said, sorry, if you don't pay for it, you won't appreciate it. He did give me a discount. As I recall, it cost me $25 for room board and the weekend, and I had to pay my own train fare from Philadelphia to Irvington. But it was a mind-changing experience for me. Indiana, though, in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, was both the birthplace and the workplace of many of our most loyal Philadelphia Society members and friends. Stan Evans, another founding member of the Philadelphia Society, editor of a major daily newspaper here in Indianapolis, the youngest full-time editor of a major daily newspaper in the United States, as it used to say about the Indianapolis Daily News, also a founder of Young Americans for Freedom, and still today an active member of the board of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. Our late distinguished member mentioned earlier, Albert Campbell, father of our esteemed secretary of the society, Pierre Goodrich's law partner, longtime ISI trustee, himself a graduate of DePauw, who saw DePauw going the wrong way, went over to the Wabash side, worked with Ben Rogge, and the two of them built up Wabashes. Okay, that's from the Wabash. Anybody here from DePauw? Anyway, where's Quayle when we need him? that's right, isn't it? anyway, launching Wabash's deferred giving program back in the 1960s. Al Campbell, a man of such great integrity in the 1980s, twice a year, and he did this every month with his favorite organizations. Back then we didn't have automatic transfers and things like that, not even in Pierre's Winchester Bank. So you'd have to get your Social Security check in the form of a check. And Al Campbell was so opposed to the whole principle of Social Security that twice a year, regular as clockwork, he would endorse it to the Heritage Foundation and send it to my attention. And the other 10 months, he would send it either to Wabash or somewhere else. A real, real stalwart. And when George Roach became president of Hillsdale back in the 1970s, it was Al Campbell who worked with George Roach in terms of building, really, the Hillsdale that we all know so well today. 1955, Uncle Al wrote a letter to the editor of Stan's newspaper and said, "Current writings and pronouncements of important people put great value on being in the middle of the road. Let us back away from current controversial issues and partisan politics for the moment and try to view this problem with as much objectivity as possible." Objectivity? "Free enterprise under limited government is head and shoulders above any practical choice." Right on, Uncle Al. And finally, when I talk about that gaggle of Indianapolis stalwarts of the conservative movement, Don Lipset, our founding secretary of the Philadelphia Society, in fact, the founder of the Philadelphia Society, noted Hoosier, bachelor's and master's degrees from IU, representative of ISI back here in Indianapolis before he moved to Philadelphia. All in all, even as those of us who celebrate the Judeo-Christian tradition will hastily belt out the chorus of "O Jerusalem," so too should all of us be willing to sing along with "Back Home Again" in Indiana. But I'll save that, Governor, for the next Indy 500, which I've had the great pleasure of attending over a number of years, and just being out here in the heartland, really, of what the United States is all about. I could go on. It's great to be here. Could I ask everybody from Indiana, please, stand up? Come on, if you're from Indiana, stand up. All right. Okay. Now, anybody here who knew Pierre Goodrich or Ben Rogge, stand up. All right. Fantastic. Let's close with a round of applause for all of us and for Indianapolis and for what you stand for. Thank you, Indianapolis.